It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock hour. Just a quick reminder, in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this weekend, so Sunday edition, $141 in coupons in the Sunday edition of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And I've been writing with the AJC for many, many years now. And in the beginning, it was just online, and then it moved to the physical paper in the living section. And now, about a month or two ago, we switched over to the business section, which probably makes more sense. And this weekend, what you'll find if you have a copy of the physical paper, the Atlanta AJC, 8 Habits of People Who Became Millionaires, which is one of my favorite topics. Again, a lot of this comes from the book, one of my favorites, Millionaire Next Door, the late Thomas Stanley, of course, here from Atlanta, the bestseller for decades, The Millionaire Next Door. And then, of course, I've seen lots of people create wealth over the 20-some years I've been in the investment industry. And, of course, I've seen high earners do this, doctors and lawyers and business owners that make millions of dollars a year. But I've also seen teachers. I've also seen electricians. I've seen folks all over the industry spectrum that have become millionaires as well. So you don't have to be a mega earner, of course. We know that. It's really about saving and investing. And then the habits the traits of millionaires, we can all follow them. They have job stability. They are not just savers, but they're investors. They own equities. They own stocks. They typically, when it comes to, as they earn more money, they typically save the raise, and they save what they earn. If they get a raise, a 10-15% raise, their spending doesn't go up by 15%. It might go up by 2-3%, but they save their raises. They typically get rid of a mortgage, and that's another trait of a happy retiree. It's not just millionaires, but it's happy retirees figure out a way to get rid of the mortgage by the time they get to retirement. They're not afraid to ask for advice. They have CPAs, they have financial advisors, they have attorneys that they rely on. The world gets more and more complicated. And if you're out there working day after day in your profession, the legal world and the tax world and the investment world, it's complicated. And they're not afraid to ask for advice and get help and have a trusted source. And again, I'm a big believer in that. Obviously, as you can imagine, I've been doing financial radio for many, over a decade. And I'm a big believer in that as well. So with that, and this is a tweet that I had today. We're going to go to the phones here in a minute. The number, by the way, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Number here in the studio. 1-800-WSB-TALK. This is just a perfect example of why the world's so complicated and how difficult it is to be an investor. I tweeted this this week. I woke up, and usually the first thing I look at will be headlines through Bloomberg and through CNBC. What's happening in the world? What happened overnight? And very, very interesting to me. And this is a perfect example of why investing is so complicated, or can be so complicated, is that there's so many diverging opinions coming from so many different places. In one short news feed, so if you think about your iPhone or your smartphone, and you go to an app like CNBC, you can scroll through the news, there'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It'll typically fit 5 major headline stories all within just the length of your phone. 5 stories. And this struck me, and I took a picture of this. I circled it as a red light, green light, red, yellow, green, just like a traffic light. And the reason I did this is because you effectively had 3 totally different opinions, all in a tiny little news feed The first one, which is a red light, so this is bad. This would be someone predicting bad news. Tariff increases could bring us back to 2008 crisis levels, World Bank warns. Red light. Right beneath that, billionaire investor Cooperman says he would sell stocks on strength because market is fairly valued. Kind of yellow light. Not terrible news, but also not overly bullish. And then two below that, Wall Street's biggest bull sees S&P 500 at records by year's end. Here's how it gets there. Green light. One tiny news feed. Three totally different outlooks on what's going to happen in the world. So I circled these, made a traffic light, tweeted it on Twitter. So if you're one of the folks that still use Twitter, I certainly will post things that I think are super important there. Good examples of the world we live in. And the Twitter handle is WesMoss365. Wes, WesMoss365, if you'd like to tweet sometime. Ryan Neely kind of smirking over there. He's not a big Twitter lover. Anyway, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Here in the studio, we're going to get to some examples where we find ourselves today effectively in a period of time where the economy is doing really well. The Atlanta Fed just had their forecast for second quarter GDP of over 4.5% growth. 4.5% growth in a 20-plus trillion-dollar economy, that's a big deal, particularly when we've been having growth that is kind of lingering around the 2% level ever since the Great Recession. The recovery we've had here in America economically has been good, but kind of lackluster. And that's part of the reason people have become frustrated around the world. We're used to growing at over 3%. For the better part of a decade, we've been growing less than 2%. And that's what's created so much angst around the world, the 39-mile-per-hour economy. Looks like we're kind of getting back to the 60-mile-an-hour economy, maybe even 65 or 70, at least for now. And the economy is doing really well. Stock market hasn't done much. Economy is outpacing the stock market. When we see a scenario like this and GDP accelerates, typically the market plays catch up. It might not do it right away, but the next year we typically see catch up. And I studied 18 different periods that are similar to today. 16 out of the 18 markets did really well the next year and kind of played catch up with a strong economy. Let's go. I do want to go to the phones though. Give us a call here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And let's see here. New phone system. Let's see if I can do this again. We're going to start with Seth in Gainesville. Seth, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help? It says on air, Seth in Gainesville. Maybe he's not on air? I don't know. Seth, if you can't hear me, maybe not. Let's try another line. So let's see. Seth, give us a buzz back. Happy to take your calls. Now we're headed to Nina in Texas. Good morning, Nina. Welcome to the show. How can I help?
Hey, good morning, Wes. I love your show. Been watching it for several years now.
Awesome.
And yeah, similar to the other caller, I took your advice and started investing in some individual stocks and have been doing this for about 2 years, a little over 2 years. And some of them have done really well, like Apple that I got in $100 and now it's at $191. Lockheed Martin, Home Depot, Costco, all those good ones. But then I also bought some that now I'm not so sure about, and I bought them all because of the dividends. Mm-hmm. So Philip Morris, Procter & Gamble, Verizon, and AT&T, I'm kind of now in the red with those and just kind of wondering, should I hold on, just ride it out because they're good dividend stocks, or should I be concerned about some of these companies?
A couple of thoughts on this, Nina. The first thought here is that you're right. I mean, these have been laggers in price. Procter & Gamble is an example. Philip Morris, so the tobacco company, is another example. General Mills, if you didn't list that, but another staple-oriented company. Let's call it cereal, and pretty much everything in your pantry is. I bet you, if you took a picture of your pantry, you'd have a quarter or half of everything is General Mills. And that's a company that has been hit pretty hard from a stock price perspective. And what we've been seeing, Procter & Gamble, same kind of getting caught up in the same, call it a riptide, that has not been good for these stocks, is that there's been a shift in sentiment away from these staple-oriented companies. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago in the fact that the world has, at least right now, it looks like there's this change in sentiment, right? So evidently, I don't know if this is really true or not, but millennials have no brand loyalty. It used to be a world that we really appreciated a Gillette razor, and we were going to always buy a Gillette razor, right? Procter & Gamble. If we were very loyal to the kind of diapers we bought, we were very loyal to particular brands, supposedly, and I say supposedly because I don't think that, I don't know if it's really true, and B, I don't think it'll last. The new generation of consumer is no longer loyal. And we have this decentralization of, we don't have to buy from one place anymore. Nobody cares about the brand of Procter & Gamble. They'll just go anywhere and buy their products. And that's kind of hurt these companies, where the thought is that they don't have that same brand power anymore. Of course, the General Mills is another example. No one has loyalty to a particular cereal anymore. And I don't know if that really lasts. I think ultimately Americans have a loyalty to brand over time. And in the case of General Mills, this is a perfect example of a very good company that's had a really kind of a bad stock. I think eventually the market wakes up to saying, oh, General Mills, this is a company that has had earnings that have never been higher. They keep going up and up and up and up and up, yet the stock price has gone down pretty dramatically. The dividend yield's over 4.5%. Similar scenario here when the couple of the companies you listed, Procter & Gamble, Philip Morris, I think at some point, these are true value companies with solid dividends, and their earnings are very good and probably headed higher. And I think a lot of these companies will end up playing catch up. A couple of months ago, Barron's had a cover story about kind of the same exact topic. Are value stocks dead? Not being appreciated in the marketplace. And that's kind of what you're experiencing. I think they play catch up. So I think you, in my opinion, and I own some of these same companies, Nina, I'm looking out over the next year or 2 years, as long as earnings are growing, and that's mostly the case in the stocks that you listed here, then I'm okay to hang on, even though the stock price might not be good today. I think eventually they play catch up. So I would continue to be patient if I were you. And I think eventually they get their day back in the sun. Nina from Texas, thank you so much for the call. Love that you're listening from Texas. We appreciate it. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We've got to run a quick break. But stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Atlanta's 24-hour news button is News 95.5 and AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We talked about the wall of worry earlier. There's so many bricks in it. It continues to go higher. And I mean that by every single one of the things I'm about to mention. They're all just another brick in this wall of worry that the market has to overcome, or has been to some extent overcoming. Trade tensions, back and forth, this tit-for-tat tariff issue. NAFTA is still these rocky talks within NAFTA. There's a new Italian government that is of concern. Tighter U.S. monetary policy, meaning the Fed is raising interest rates. What's that going to do? Is that going to lead to a flatter inverted, remember, an upside down yield curve? Not a good thing. Wage inflation, we're starting to see a little bit of that. We think of that as the kind of the most dangerous economic number, the black widow of economic data points that gets to 4.5%. Then we typically go into recession. Flat yield curve or upside down, meaning that short-term interest rates are higher than long-term. Hasn't happened yet, but if that does happen, then we, again, another precursor to recession. We could see regulation on a bunch of these high-flying tech names that could pull them back, bring them down. There's continued turnover in the White House. These are all bricks in the wall of worry. Some are a big deal. Some are just really kind of noise. In the end, though, we continue to see the predominance of economic data coming in a very strong fashion. We're seeing continued growth across the board, and that's really what matters. The Atlanta Fed just came out with a forecast for second quarter GDP at 4.6%. That's a massive rate of growth for an economy our size, something we haven't seen for some time. When Money Matters returns, I want to go to the phones and talk about the economy versus the market. Give us a call, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 here in the studio when Money Matters returns. We will meet
accidentally. It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. 35 minutes past the hour. Your host, Wes Moss, here to take your calls and your questions and talk about this very important topic. When the economy and the stock market diverge, what happens to equity prices? Typically, went back and looked at 18 different examples of periods of time that are a lot like right now. What do markets do the next year? We're going to get to that. We're going to give an example from 1984, 1988, 1994. And what happened to equity markets. I also want to, phone lines open. We have a brand new phone system, which is great. You hear it maybe clicking when it's much more technologically advanced. And I think you might be actually hear the clicking when I, over the air. I'm not sure if you hear it or not, but it's brand new. So we're working out the glitches. Anyway, it's more advanced. So we're excited to use it. So give us a call here in the studio. Whether it's a question, maybe it's an ETF or a stock question. Hey, I own these stocks. I'm thinking about buying an ETF, exchange traded fund, dumping my mutual funds for lower cost ETFs. Or maybe you don't need to do that. Maybe it's a mutual fund or an ETF question. Maybe it's an annuity question. You know, we haven't gotten an annuity question for a very long time. Maybe you have cash just kind of sitting around doing nothing. And oh, by the way, treasury rates have climbed tremendously over the last several months to the point where short-term money can now actually have a little bit of yield. Not just a little bit, a lot relative to where we have been for the better part of a decade. The Fed's kept rates at zero for so long. Now that rates have come higher and the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates, hey, now you can make a little bit of money on your money market in short-term treasuries. You're easily in the 2% range. So maybe you have cash sitting around doing nothing. Maybe you have a question about retirement. You're about to do something. You're about to make a change, work, life, school, who knows? And you want to just get some direction. You're kind of forking the road. Which direction should we go? Should I take the pension or the lump sum? Should I roll this money over into an IRA, leave it in the 401k? Maybe it's even a TSP question, through a savings plan. So all of these things are the fun part about Money Matters. We love to take your calls and try to give you some objective guidance here on a Sunday morning. It's really the fun part about Money Matters. So give us a call here in the studio. Ryan Ely standing by to take your call. Maybe he can answer it. Maybe I can answer it. Either way, we love talking to you. Phone lines open. The number 404-872-0750. Again, the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Or if you're outside of Atlanta, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-972-8255. Now, okay, with that, let's go, and we'll go to the phones in a minute. Let's get to the examples I've been talking about all day. 16 out of the last 18 times this happened, meaning the economy outpacing the S&P 500, the next year was a good year for stocks. Average gain, 12.6%, maximum of 37.5%, worst case scenario, 10. Negative 10. Today, the market is up about 3.5%, yet PE ratios, what we're talking about here, really a measure of the economy, are down 10%. And remember, just as a quick refresher, the PE ratio, the E is a denominator. So as earnings go up, the ratio itself goes down. That's so you, a lower P/E ratios in this case mean that earnings are going up. So it's a good sign for the economy. So Mr. Economy is outpacing Mr. Stock Market in this long-term race they're in. And we're seeing acceleration for GDP. Atlanta Fed just says, hey, we're growing at 4.6% for the second quarter, which is a really, that's a massive growth rate. GDP for the fourth quarter of 2016, just to give you some context, was 1.8%. First quarter of 2017, 1.2%. First quarter of 2018, 2.6%. Today, 4.6%. That's a very real acceleration. Let's look at 1984, 1988, 1994 as some of the most pronounced examples of this happening. In 1984, the S&P 500 was up only 6%. GDP was up 7%. So we were growing at over 7%. And earnings went up so much that the P/E ratio fell by 20%, creating a scenario where stocks became cheap relative to their prevailing prices. What happened the next year? Well, S&P 500 was up 31.7%. Another example, 1988, S&P was up 16%. It's a lot. But the earnings went up so much that the P/E ratio fell by 22%. Again, massive earnings growth made stocks on a relative basis actually a better value. GDP clipping along at 4.2%, similar to today. The next year, market's up over 30%. So a very, very real acceleration for in these examples we're going into. The next scenario, 1994, S&P was only up 1.3%. The economy was growing at 4%, so GDP growing at 4% due to the massive earnings growth. The economy growing, P/E went down 21%. The next year, S&P 500 up 37.5%. So dramatic years when we're seeing that same pattern is happening right now. Markets flat to up slightly, earnings way up. So the P/E has been dropping. And we're looking at GDP growth right now in the 3.5% rate for the entire year. Again, I don't know what's going to happen, right? We don't have a crystal ball. But if history is any guide, 2019 could shape up to be a pretty good year. Maybe Mr. Market catches up to the economy. And in this kind of this never-ending race, is there more to the equation? Of course. The wall worry of what we've been talking about today, it's a big wall of worry. Tit-for-tat tariffs, NAFTA on the ropes, North Korea. Japan actually contracted in the first quarter, the Italian elections and their debt. The Fed raising interest rates here in the United States, higher oil prices, higher gas prices. None of these bricks in the wall you can't dismiss them completely, but it's a reminder here that the key is growth of the economy, GDP growth, and stock value and stock valuation staying attractive, not getting into bubble territory. And that's about where we are right now. We're not in bubble territory. So it wouldn't shock me to see Mr. Market play some catch up over the next year or two. Ryan Ely, I know we have calls. Where should we go for the rest of Money Matters as we take calls here? All right, well, let's start with Robert in Gainesville. Robert in Gainesville. Good morning, Robert. How can I help?
How are you doing today?
Good. Welcome to Money Matters.
Yes. So I have a couple topics. So the first one, I think I might have listened to you last week talking about pensions and pension strategies. And it just so happened I retired last year at 57. I had to retire a little bit early to take care of my parents. My dad got deathly ill, but I decided to take a little bit of a strategy. I wanted to see what your thoughts were. I took 66 2/3 pension payout, which actually gave me a higher payout, like if I had worked an extra year. But the downfall is if either my wife or I pass away, we would get, 33% less.
Robert, you took the pension early because you were only 57 and you.
Right.
Got it. So you got 2/3 of what you would have gotten if you worked to 65.
Well, we actually had I ended up with 94% of the pension if I'd worked because we had a situation the way it was set up, but it just had to be the death benefit would cut my pension significantly if either one of us died. Now, what I did to compensate is I took out a $500,000 policy for both of us, term policy for 10 years, and that will bridge us until we get to like Social Security, which, you know, would get us back closer to even. So I didn't know if that was something that made sense, but that was the only thing I could come up with.
Well, right. You're right.
We did have a
question about this pretty recently. And you're right. When you're really young retiree, and I would say 57 is still really young. And the reason the life insurance scenario can work there is that if you're that young, you can typically get pretty affordable life insurance to make up for maybe a lower pension value. Or in your case, if you're not going to, if your spouse will benefit if you pass away, there's not as much remaining for your spouse. Sure, you can make up for that with a life insurance policy. And if you're young and healthy, you can do that. If you're 65, it's a lot harder to do that because obviously it's a lot more expensive to get a life insurance policy that lasts you another 20 plus years. So I really like that strategy. I think that that does make a ton of sense. And it technically, $500,000 in life insurance, if you're, let's call it, at a 5-6% clip or rate of return on that, again, this is down the road if something happens to you, that's another $30,000 a month for your wife. That's the equivalent of $2,500 a month.
Right.
So it more than makes up for it. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, so that was one of the things we did. We were both actually very frugal in the way we lived, and so we didn't have a lot of debt, and so this was something that I felt, you know, would just kind of offset it for pretty reasonable expense. My second question is, I have probably 60% of my holdings in real estate that I purchased in 2012 when the market crashed. So I have single family homes that I'm renting that have not only done very well appreciating, the rents have done very well and excellent income. The other 40% I have, you know, invested in, I'd say probably 50% of various stocks that I like to buy, you know, when they're discounted. And then the other half is probably sitting idle because I just don't feel like there's that many good deals right now. And so I'm looking for an idea of investing, you know, very conservatively in that other 50% that would be, not high risk, right? Just something, you know, 4-5% return, something not extravagant, but I'm just, I haven't been able to invest in bonds. I get a little concerned because when interest rates go up, you know, the prices go the opposite way and that kind of thing. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So a couple of thoughts, Robert. And what Robert is asking here is that 60% in real estate, the other 40 is in more liquid,
security.
And then half of that 40 is just in cash. So it sounds like, remember this, as long as you're doing shorter term bonds, Robert, bonds tend to get painted with the same broad brush, and that's not the way bonds work because it's such a giant market. You have, it's double the size of the stock market, and it is, there's so many different kinds of bonds. And then you've got duration. How long do the bonds go? And that's where often gets overlooked. Yes, bonds will go down if interest rates go up, particularly if they're long term. That's the real risk. So if you do short term bonds, and when I say short term, I mean, let's call it under 5 years. You do a 1 year bond or a 2 year bond, you have very little worry or movement about interest rate risk. And so just remember that right now, let's say you bought a 1 year treasury or 2 year treasury, you're in the 2% range with very, very low risk. Technically, I mean, there's always a little bit of risk at some point, but the government treasury bond is the safest asset we know of, number one. Number two, if you do a short-term bond, let's say a two-year, you're getting close to 2.5%, and you really have no, the risk is ultra, ultra low. So, and that's new. That's only happened in the last couple of months as interest rates have started to go up on the short end of what's called the yield curve. I think that's a good example. If you want something really conservative, but you still want it to be working, then that's your first option. The second option, of course, would just be to invest more in some of these value-oriented companies. We've had some questions about that today with good dividends, and just have to be patient that they'll come back over time. If you don't own some of these, then there's some attractive prices out there. We had a caller today that asked about asked about Procter & Gamble. I talked about General Mills. These are examples of companies that I think at this point, and again, you've got to do your own research. I can't blatantly recommend anything just over the radio, but these are areas, in my opinion, of interest as their earnings are still really solid, but their stock prices have kind of lagged behind. And that's the kind of company that if you're patient over time, typically you do pretty well. And that's and some of these are in the 3.5% yield, over 4% yield for a company like General Mills, as we talked about earlier. So those are ideas, if you're a patient, could play out in your favor, certainly over time. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Thank you so much for joining us today and your phone calls. If we don't get to you, then please call us next weekend or throughout the week. You can find me and the team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's an email button. Those emails come straight to me and Ryan and our Money Matters team. We're happy to, we'll get back to you within 48 hours. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Ryan Ely, take over when it comes to the weekend prize pack.
The weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons in concert Saturday, September 29th at Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center. Caller number 7, the prize pack is yours.
I'm sorry, was that Frankie Valli?
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
He's still rocking, Frankie Valli?
Okay. I would assume so if he's performing at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. Ryan Ely there with Weekend Prize Pack. The newly engaged Ryan Ely. Yeah. Sorry, girls. He's off the market. Sad day. Good morning, and thank you for being with us here today. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team and Ryan, easy to do. Oh, by the way, prize pack 404-741-0750. Find me and Ryan and the Money Matters team throughout the week. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Email upper right-hand corner. They come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Or go to yourwealth.com. You can do there too, yourwealth.com. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful weekend and Sunday. And stay tuned to the best programming on the planet all week long, right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.